Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I'm joined with my brother and co-host, Jake Bushnell.
Yeah.
And today we have a very special guest, my good friend, Mr. Rome Ramirez of Sublime with Rome.
What's up, everybody? Is that you singing that part?
Yeah, we'll tell people that.
Okay.
Tell people that.
We'll tell
what up? What's up, Rome? How are you?
I'm good. Fresh back from Arizona.
That's
hanging
right.
Out with you, actually.
We were just, what was that, yesterday? I think we had a show together in Arizona.
Happy Easter. I skipped out when we went home to our families, yeah. And now we're back.
And while we were at that show, I suckered an M to come in here and doing this.
No,
so guess what
dope.
You're doing Monday.
Isn't that crazy, though? Because it was like Arizona. That place was packed. There had to have been like 10,000 people there. It was like you guys, us, Catastrophe Boys.
Pacific Dub.
It's like the scene that's been in the game for like forever. And yeah, now there's like way more people there than when it started. I don't know.
The weirdest thing about Arizona, so far from a beach, it is the desert. Huge reggae scene.
It's like more Cali than Cali sometimes. It's like you're out there and people are like, man, they're in the zone out there. They're like,
yeah. I mean, Arizona was one of the, I think it was the first, you know, state we started hitting outside of California. And the fans there have always just been amazing. And they come out and they're ready to party every time.
I remember that. I told them that on stage. I was like, you guys always showing love to the whole scene.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
You know? They're a big component to that.
Back to the clubhouse days.
Dude, was that... Yes. What was the one with the hangar? The airplane hangar. Do you remember that one?
No.
We used to play in a hangar. Matt Sound was local sound for it.
And that was the clubhouse.
That was the clubhouse.
That was the clubhouse.
It wasn't like a dome, though. It was like an airplane hangar dome. It was like Hangar 52 or something. Bro, I'm telling you.
Oh, yes. No, that's in...
It's Arizona.
Flagstaff.
But it's Arizona,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I was tripping.
All right. So
we're old.
Dang. Rome. You know, I'm gonna do the question. You've probably been asked a bunch, but you know, for a lot of our listeners who don't know the story behind it, they just know you as Rome from Sublime with Rome. Can you tell us a little story of like how did this happen for you? Because it's a pretty amazing story.
It's pretty. Like, now that I'm older, I can kind of look at it more from a more macro perspective. And it's, you know, it really is just, like, a lot of, like, luck and good timing. But essentially, to kind of summarize it, I wanted to move out to Los Angeles to become, like, an audio engineer and then work my way into, you know, meeting people, becoming a producer, and then an artist one day. And on my way out, you know, to do that, I was in Los Angeles. I was, like, renting a couch for, like, $500. And actually, one of the dudes who was, like, staying there a lot, too, and jamming out in the beginning was Anderson .Paak, believe it or not. That's, like, super crazy.
Wow, that is really
cool. How old are you at this point?
I was the youngin'. So I was, like, I was 18 at the time. And Breezy was, like, Anderson .Paak, he was, like, probably, like, 20. And then, like, the other dude, like, Vishnu and Cheddar, like, they were all, like, 21, 22. But they were in, like, their own little thing called, like, Block Cheddar and stuff. And, like, I was, like, the youngin', like, you know, going to school for engineering. And they had just, like, graduated. And yeah, man, like, it was just crazy. It was, like, such a really creative environment, and everybody was just really, like, gassing each other up and stuff. But, yeah, man, it was, like, it was just a, you know, crazy time, like, where I was just surrounded by, like, so many, like, talented people from all over, like, the country. Because, like, you know, in your hometown, you only know, like, your squad, you know what I mean? Like, you could be, like, the dopest dude of, like, 10 dudes, you know what I mean? Which is cool and all, but when you go out to L.A., it's, like, a very, like, real factor. You see, you know, you see all those houses and stuff and all the buildings you see on TV and everything. You're like, dang, this is, like, where stars are from. So then you start to meet a bunch of talented people. And so it was, like, it was really cool, creative space. And I started to meet other people. And that's where I started dating this chick who was recording over at 17th. Mm-hmm. Or he was, like, the head of the studio. You guys know Louis Richards.
Yep.
The 17th Street's where Dirty Heads did a lot of stuff.
It's man.
Costa Mesa.
Did our first two albums there. First three, actually, I think.
Huge shout out to Louis Richards for, you know, being a huge component to that, too.
The, like, whole scene, really.
Yeah, for real, man. He, like, you know, put a lot of people on, myself included. But, yeah, man, so he, you know, kind of took me under his wing and was like, I'll let you sleep in my studio, you know, if you just help me run the studio. And I was like, my dream. I came out here to be in the studio anyway. So I dropped out of that school. And I just started, like, living over at Louis' spot and then, you know, helping him with the studio and stuff. And he was teaching me all kinds of stuff about just songwriting, arrangement, and, like, producing and attack and threshold on a compressor and all that stuff. So it's like, yeah, man, it was a crazy time. And he was friends and currently and was in a band at the time with Wilson, Eric Wilson from Sublime. And, yeah, that was, like, the... that was, like, the start of that relationship. And I remember even going over there. He had, like, the self-titled plaque on the wall, you know?
Yep.
And, I mean, it's the same with you. I'm sure Dad is like, you know, we're young and we're just like, man, Sublime's like, it kind of introduced us into all this, you know?
I remember when Wilson would come to the studio every time.
He'd be like, 100%.
Damn, there he is.
Dude, nuts. It's, like, literally, I just remember that being so crazy. It's like, when he would, like... I think the first time I ever came, his bass guitar was there. And I was like, wow, it's like an artifact, you know? So crazy. I just remember that vividly. I took a picture and I sent it to my homies. I was like, people's bass this is. They were like, what the hell? But yeah, man, like, and that was like, you know, the introduction to me and Wilson. And then, you know, anybody who knows Eric, he's like the biggest music fan ever. So the quickest way to Eric's heart is, like, through music. And, man, he just really took a liking on me because that's all I lived about was for music, you know? And he just, you know, you guys know he throws, like, the craziest parties ever. Yeah.
Big time.
Like, amazing. If you guys don't know, this dude's, like, you know, he's like, a party master. Like, his house is, like, fully lasered up all the time. Drum set, PA.
Fog machine.
Guitar amps, fog machine in the living room.
He's like, got a pet goat.
Yeah, dude.
Pet goat with a chain necklace.
Like, his PA system is, like, legitimately better than, like, most clubs. Like,
when you see Eric, like, Wilson on stage, that's him.
That's him.
The glasses, the whole the life, it never stops.
When Drake says, like, he wears his chains in his house, well, Eric, like, will wear, like, his leather jackets in his house and stuff. And is, like, smoking cigarettes in the kitchen. Like,
I remember one tour.
He's a legend.
One tour, he ran off site for a bit and. And I remember Cheese was like, man, I can't get a hold of Eric. I don't know where he is. And then Eric showed up in a full Elvis suit that he had just bought from a pawn shop. And then he wore that for like 2 weeks straight on stage.
That was a full Elvis suit. Oh, that thing smelled so bad after a while. But yeah, dude, that was so crazy.
Usually before a Sublime with Rome show. I don't know how it is lately. I haven't seen you guys I haven't been on tour with you guys in a while. But when I first did, every show almost was, where did Eric Wilson go?
Yeah.
Somebody needs to be sent out to find him and drag him back to the venue.
Pretty much, you know.
He would
but
just
that,
do
that's
his
the
thing.
About, dude, it's crazy about Eric. It's like, there's never been a Sublime show, you know, ever in the history of the word Sublime and music associated to it in the form of reggae and rock, where Eric has not been on that stage.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And
everyone
it's
else is
so nuts.
Out.
Now, he has pushed that shit to the limit. You know, we're on at 9. It's like 9:05. But he's never not come and played a show. And I, dude, like, he said that once a long time. Like, those were his words. He was like, there's never been a Sublime show where I haven't been on stage. And I was like, man, that's, like, kind of nuts. And it's true, man. It's like, I think he kind of holds that to a pride, too, you know? Like, you know, he time doesn't make sense to Eric Wilson. It doesn't really to most geniuses, from what I gather, you know.
Oh, man.
Brian Wilson's another one of those people, you know, from stories I've heard and the books I've read on him, that, you know, like those kind of like boundaries that we set on ourselves, like, don't really make sense to the ultra high creative. Mm-hmm. And Eric permanently lives in that zone where he's like constantly just creating things, and it's like, I don't know, it's super inspiring to see someone like that.
Yeah, he's a pretty amazing dude. So, you know, that being said, you know, I think a lot of people would look at that story or just, you know, hear of like, okay, there's this new young kid gets to just step in and, you know, all of a sudden be the lead man for this amazing legendary band. Like, wow, how lucky. What a blessing that must have been for him, you know? And it's like, yeah, that's very true. Like, that is lucky. That is a blessing. But, you know, there's two different ways to look at luck, and there's two different ways to look at blessings, you know? And, you know, you could look at someone who, say, for instance, hasn't really done much in their life, hasn't worked hard for much, and they go down to the 7-Eleven and they spend $1 on a lotto ticket, and they win, you know, $100 million. And you think, wow, that's so lucky. What a blessing, you know. And that is really lucky. And I'm sure a lot of people that's happened to, that's changed their life in a very positive way. But there's also the other side of that, that a lot of those people that happen to, you know, they end up blowing all the money. They end up having problems with their family because they had other problems before. And they thought, if I got all this money, it would solve all my problems.
Like a Band-Aid, I think.
Yeah, totally, you know. And you just think, oh, well, I have all these problems because I don't have money. And then they get all this money, an endless amount of money, really. And then you get all these new problems that you're just not ready for. You're not prepared for that. Yeah. So it's like, yes, you can get lucky. There can be blessings in life. But at the same time, if you're not prepared for them, if you're not ready, then it's not going to be lucky. It's not going to be a blessing. It's going to end up, you know, either doing nothing for you. Like, for instance, someone might look at Rome and say, wow, how lucky. What a blessing that is for him to have gotten that opportunity. And you're right. It is very lucky. It is a blessing. And it's, you know, it's a movie. Like, a kid who grew up, his very favorite band in the world, he ends up becoming friends with the bass player, and then the band reforms, and he gets to be the lead singer. That's a movie. That's not real life.
It's a Mark Wahlberg movie called Rockstar.
Yeah. I think it is. So,
lucky. There's the point.
Blessing.
Pretty close,
But Rome was highly prepared.
Yes.
So I think what we're trying to get at is, like, you know, people can go, oh, lucky. Yeah, but if Rome couldn't sing, if Rome didn't know how to play guitar, it wouldn't have mattered, right? So the timing was right, but Rome was there, and he was there for completely different reasons. He didn't show up at Louis' studio to say, I want to be in Sublime with Rome. It wasn't a thing. Rome loved music. Rome was following his heart. He was already super talented, and he happened to be in the right spot. The timing was right. The preparation was there. That's how good luck is created. And we know it's a good thing because how many years ago was that? You are still singer of Sublime with Rome.
10 years this year,
10
actually.
10 years.
It's nuts. Thank you guys, man. That means a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, it's kind of crazy because ultimately, though, like, no matter what, like, that shit was complete luck, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I don't know. You have to be prepared. Like, I wouldn't have even moved to Los Angeles if I knew I sucked at music, you know? I knew I was good enough to at least try and have a mm-hmm. shot.
Yeah.
And you know, I've definitely worked at it, and I listen to other people, and you know, but I don't know. My thing was, it was just always following intuition of just keeping an open mind, staying positive, and working hard. And you know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't know that I would be doing something in music to, you know, some sort of capacity where I'd be able to pay my bills, hopefully.
You just felt it. You just knew it.
I just knew it, man, since I was a kid. Like, since I was, like, pretty much, like, in sixth grade.
I think you kind of have to have, like, that feeling.
Just kind of feeling from it. But not never with Sublime ever in my life that I think I get to that point. And that's the beauty of life.
Who can ever?
You really don't know, man, like, ever. You know, I thought I had my own, like, you know, crazy band, and we'd be doing things and whatever. But, like, this opportunity came up, and it was like, are you serious? Well, of course, yes. But what? This is, like, awesome. Like, and then it's like, I don't know, man. Like, just that whole science is, I think, more so than even, like, you know, me being, like, prepared or whatever, because we're just fans of it anyway. We just did it all the time anyway. You know what I mean? If it was smoking pot, we'd be pro at that. but
I think you still are.
Yeah, pretty good. But yeah, man, you know, it was definitely just all these key components. I like to tell people same thing about Lay Me Down. That's what I tell people, like, because a lot of people will ask about the DH, like, especially in the scene, like, oh man, you know, we just got to get that one song, and then like we'll be like headlining shit like Dirty Heads, you know. And I'm like, you guys have no idea how many years these guys have been in the band, like, and play for nobody. Like, yeah, they had the song and we did it, and it was just magic at the right time. We were prepared, like all that stuff. But there was this magic in the air that happens when I just, you know, you can't really put a formula to it, but man, it's like, it's special, you know? There was a lot of things going on, you know?
That's a really good, you know, story. And it goes right into the subject of what we were talking about, of like lucky and blessings, but being prepared. Because, yeah, I mean, the Lay Me Down hitting for us and going number one for 12 weeks, we like broke records. We hadn't done anything on that level even close at that point. We had been touring for a long time. We had played thousands of shows, and we had little small decent success in some certain areas, but we were still grinding.
They were huge in Arizona.
We were huge in Arizona clubhouse. Okay, and then that song being played was actually lucky and a blessing. This is how that happened. Our manager was going to K-Rock to show him three songs off of our new album.
What songs?
I think it was Stand Tall, Believe, and Chelsea. And
solid records.
And he asked his assistant, like, will you burn, this is back when you're burning CDs, will you burn a CD with those three songs on it? I'm going to K-Rock. I want to show them these songs and see if they'll pick one up as a single. So we had just recorded Lay Me Down. It wasn't even on the album. And we did, it was like a demo recording. It wasn't mixed. It wasn't mastered. Nothing. One day in the studio, threw down a demo, and we had sent it to our manager, so it was on his desktop. And she dragged that onto the CD on accident.
Shout out Tamara Reagan. It was
Tamara. Hey, you know what? Blessing.
I like to think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
She knew what she was doing.
Give that girl a raise.
Yeah.
The first song that gets played when he's in that meeting is fucking Lay Me Down. And he's like, And he's trying to like, wait, that's not the right one. And they're like, no, we love this track. We're going to play it right now on the radio and see what happens. So they accidentally put this song on the CD. The first song they play, they love it. They played on the radio that day, and it got a great reaction. So he just, boom, right then threw it into full rotation. And
that never happens.
Never happens.
Ever.
Very lucky. You know, a blessing, definitely.
100%.
But in the long run, we were ready. We were prepared. We had been playing so many shows. We had been working so hard. And, you know, we got this lucky opportunity. We got this blessing in disguise. But at the end of the day, we were ready for it and we were prepared. And, you know, we still take every step today to be prepared for the next, you know, lucky break or the next blessing, because you never know when it's going to arise. So when it does, you best be ready.
Straight up.
Dang.
That's right. And I won't go in too much more of just blowing you up on this subject, but I think this is just something really cool that I've never actually asked you. And, I mean, you're a good friend of mine. We've been pretty much on this ride of music forever together.
For real.
And what was the feeling you had inside on the very first time you stepped on stage, which I believe was at the K-Rock Weenie Roast at the Irvine Meadows? Was this the first show you played with Sublime with Rome?
No, we played at Smokeout.
Smokeout, that's
that
right.
The one.
So what was that feeling though? The first time you walked out on stage. I am now the lead man for my favorite band. Here we go. What did that feel like?
And more importantly, like you're the lead singer of a legendary band with a legendary lead singer.
Yes.
And
you,
dude, there's stories like Henry Rollins singing for Black Flag for the first time and just being like, oh, are they going to accept me? Like, what was going through your head?
Dude. Like suicide? No. No, man, it was like, you know, well, before Smokeout, moments before, like right when the tour manager came backstage, was like, yo, it's showtime, guys. I probably looked insanely nervous as I was, but Bud pulled me in, like, he was like, yo, me and Eric, he was like, he pulled a joint out of his pocket. He's like, let's go smoke a joint real quick. In typical Bud fashion, like, snuck in. fuck it, let's go smoke a joint real quick before that. And so we hit the bathroom, and then we just smoked a joint, and like Bud was like, don't be nervous, man. You got this shit. You're already here. Like, we already think you're dope. Like, don't even. So that actually did help me out a lot, you know, from like that 20-second walk until I got to the stage again. Then I was like, oh, God. But, you know, as I'm sure you can attest to, as soon as you hit that first note, man, it all becomes fun again. Yep. It all, like, there's like, well, here we go. It's like as soon as you're in the roller coaster and the thing takes off, you're like, well, I can't back out now.
Might as well
enjoy this shit. And that's what it was, man. I was just, I closed my eyes and I was like, okay, here we go. Let's not fuck this up and let's have some fun.
Thanks.
And that, you know, to this day, that's still like the mentality, you know. But if it was honestly, it just was that last minute, like, reformation from the guys, you know. It was just like, you're right. You know, nobody here, nobody knew Bradley, you know, besides like a couple, you know, his really close people. And I would probably assume that that'd be you two as well. And if you guys say I'm all right, then it's all, that's all right for me too, you know? So yeah. I was like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah,
man, it's been insane. It's been 10 years of like.
That's crazy. 10 years.
10 years.
That went so fast.
I know. It's crazy. Married, about to have another baby, two kids. It's like, what the hell?
Speaking of blessings.
And you know what? Straight up. You know what? About all of that? Probably feels good, right, Jake?
Oh, boy.
And feeling I'm feeling good. Good
at it. It be feeling good. Wow. It be feeling good. I know, man. That's like a crazy thing.
And, yeah, and we like to talk about things that make us feel good. I'm feeling good with Duddy. And we also have sponsors that make us feel good. First off, one of the things that makes me, and I know makes Rome feel good because we've drank enough of this together to kill a small village, but whiskey. I love whiskey. It makes me feel good. It makes me do bad things sometimes, but at least I'm having fun while it happens. And this whiskey, Proper 12. If you haven't tried this whiskey, go out, grab a bottle, and share some with your friends. It is so good. And on that note, Jake, will you pour us a couple shots?
Let's get going.
And I'll get into the next couple sponsors. So once again, Proper 12 Whiskey. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It is delicious. Go get yourself a bottle. And also another amazing product that I love and I use daily, Koi CBD products. I love this product. It's great.
I'm going to have to try some.
Do it right now. Take some right now. A full guy.
You know,
don't be scared.
I actually got my wife on CBD.
I'm going to give you some to take home with you.
Yeah, please.
And so this stuff is great. You know, if you're someone who's constantly taking, you know, Advils or Tylenols or anything like that, this is try some CBD instead and just see if it works for you. It's a lot better for you. It could help you with your pain. It could help you with your inflammation. And also, you know, it takes a little edge off the day. For me, I love it. It just kind of, I don't feel it. I'm not getting high, but I do feel like it takes a little stress off of my day. I love it. I use it every day. KoiCBD.com. You go there right now. And at checkout, you put in code DuddyB. You're going to get 20% off. Dare you to not do that.
You put in code Rome, you get 0% off, but it's all right.
Well, you know what, Rome? Maybe next time. And then one last but not least, Sticky Vapes, another product that I use.
Big shout out to Sticky Vapes.
I spilled whiskey all over that vape.
I was going to say, yeah. You know what?
Dude, it'll still work. Yeah. It'll hit better.
Double hitter.
That's new. Whiskey flavored weed. How has that not been done?
Vape life.
Hey, guys at Reamp, get on that. Whiskey-flavored weed.
You guys should touch the ends of your vape pens and take tokes and stare into
That's too close to docking. That's way too close to docking.
Holy shit.
Oh.
But yeah, Sticky Vapes, check it out. Stickyvapes.com. I love these products. Always have one on me. So check it out. Great product, great company, great people. Sticky Vapes, thank you. On that note, let's take this shot. And
cheers. Cheers to feeling good.
Yeah, feeling good.
Here we go, boys.
Proper 12.
Oh, boy.
That's nice, right? That's nice. That feels good. Okay. So, speaking of feeling good, one place that I go, I've been a few times, and I've had the pleasure of going to this place with Rome and spending weeks at a time here, the Sonic Ranch.
Yeah, baby.
Man, shout out to the Sonic Ranch.
What up, Tony?
This place is amazing. We've recorded a few albums there. It's out in El Paso in the middle of nowhere on a pecan farm about 10 feet from Juarez. you can ride a bike, and not a motorcycle, like a Huffy. You can ride it in like 1 minute, and you're at the gate of Mexico, and you could hear the electric. Like,
it's like 30,000 acres or something, too.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's the largest pecan farm in the States, or in the world, maybe, I think it is.
I think it might be the world.
I think it's the world. So, you know, this guy Tony lives there, and, you know, he's made a nice living for himself. His family's, you know, got this amazing pecan farm, and they've made a nice living. So
get that pecan money.
Pecan money, baby, is big time. So, you know, he, as a hobby, he loves music, and he just loves bands, and he loves musicians. So he built this amazing studio, a couple little studios, out in the middle of this pecan farm in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, he's got a couple little, like, house things you can live in,
yeah,
and while you're out there, and
it's turnkey, man.
Oh, it's great. Couple ladies that live out there, and they just cook you the best Mexican food, like, all day long.
Do your laundry.
It's just an amazing place, an amazing vibe. And you go out there, and it's great because there's no distractions. You don't have your friends there, you don't have your family there, and it's just like, let's make some music. And he has any guitar you can ever want, any amp. He's just got amazing equipment, and the people that work there are just amazing and great vibes. But that being said, me and Rome have spent quite a few, you know, days there together, and we've had some good times. But
we
one
did that, Sonic Sound of Change album out there.
We did the whole Sonic Sound of Change out there. And I think that during that is when we had the night where Tony brought in like a really high-end bottle of absinthe.
Oh, the Wormwood.
Do you remember this?
Was it the Wormwood?
Yeah.
Yuff. Yeah.
And we all just started.
That was a weird time.
Yeah. We started, and he was doing it right with like the, I don't remember exactly how, but he was heating up some, you know.
Dude, there was mechanisms.
He was
there
was doing like a whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
And a flame inside of a bottle, and it like, oh, dude, it was nuts.
And
only
lost
Tony
our
would do
minds.
Some stuff like
only
that.
Only Tony.
Too.
Tony, to so you know where Tony's coming from mentally, Eric Wilson was out there and had a birthday, and yeah, there's this big birthday cake for Eric, and Tony came running out of the back room with a humongous samurai sword and just chopped the fuck out of this cake.
Yeah. Just like that.
Just like that. Like, there was nothing left of this cake.
He's like, yo, I'm so glad you guys, like, to any band, you know, he's like, I'm so glad you guys are coming over here. Let me know, you know, if you guys want to take some guns out and just go firing about. It's like, wow, that's rad. You know, it's like, you don't meet a lot of people who are like, thank you for coming. Here are some guns.
Here's
if
some
you
guns.
Want. Here's some absinthe.
Sounds like you guys recorded at Phil Spector's house. No, he came out with a samurai sword and offered us guns.
Totally. I mean, he's got some, like, original, you know, Salvador Dali's in there, too, in his house.
Oh,
like,
shit.
You're talking about Ferraris on the wall, bro. It's like, you know,
so
he's a man of impeccable taste.
In the vocal booth, there is hanging up on the wall an actual flag from a kamikaze jet that actually crashed, and they saved this. They saved this flag, and fucking kamikaze. And he put that up in there to tell you, like, if you're ever in here and you're just not giving it your all, look up there. And those guys gave their fucking lives for what they believed in.
They gave 100%.
They gave everything. So give everything you got.
So you can give us one more take.
You know? Yeah. Guess what? You missed the note. Try again. So,
yeah, I love Sonic Ranch, man.
Yeah. And one cool thing about Sonic Ranch, too, is they have the only Stevie Ray Vaughan, the only guitar that Stevie Ray Vaughan played that's ever left his family.
They yeah, it's got it. The belt buckle, or it's got worn out on the back from his belt buckle.
Yeah, and
he's had the big old
because
belt.
You know, like I had said before, he's just a hot. He collects all this amazing musical equipment, and he had a guitar that they really wanted, so they just traded. And of course, every time I've been there, I've been like, "Can I play the Stevie guitar?" And I've got to play it a few times.
Dude, we've done three albums there too. SWR, we've done. Yeah, our last three records there, and then done a couple, like, writing sessions out there as well. I added it up, and I spent about, like, 7 months of my life there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, you know, that's a good amount of time that I've spent anywhere else away from home. And I think about that, and I'm like, you know, it's pretty similar to kind of how I grew up, you know, like, even smells the same just because of laundry detergent and everything. But, you know, it's predominantly Latino kind of vibe. But it's, man, it's a beautiful place, you know. Last time we were out there, actually, we were out there with Rob Cavallo and stuff. And, like, we went, you know, we all knocked out probably, like, midnight. And Eric and his girl and a couple of their buddies. Like, they were up a little bit later just drinking, and they wanted to play ping pong. And, you know, they're over at Studio A, and then a mile way up that way is like the other, like, SSL room. It's a mile up, exactly a mile. And they wanted to play ping pong over at their house, but the ping pong table was a mile away. So Eric was like, you know, it's all good. Like, we'll just go and just tie it on the back of my truck. And we'll
is an Eric story for sure.
Yeah. And we'll drag it over to my house, and it'll be cool. And they're like, hell yeah. So, like, they, you know, tie it up. And
what's he thinking? Turn it upside down and slide it?
They wanted to grind it on the four legs and just kind of rock it out. See, I don't know, man. Mathematically, you don't check out to me. But so.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
They got about 10 feet and, you know, it gave in and it did its thing and it's done. And the next morning, you know, Eric's like, hey, Tony, I wanted to use your ping pong table last night, so I tied it to my truck and then it broke and I ran over it. But I saw his face. He's like, but I got you this other ping pong table and replaced. And he showed him like the Amazon receipt for this ping pong table. That's like fucking the top of the line T9000. So Tony was just like, okay, it's fine. You know how Tony is.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just so funny. It's just like, you know, man, that was like such a disaster. But in total Eric fashion, it's like, but it's okay. Here's,
but it's,
you know,
okay.
It's all good.
I upped it. I upped
one time
the ante.
We were in London. We had a travel day, and we just landed in London after, like, mad connections. Everyone's tired. Everyone wants to go back to the hotel and shower. And Eric's, like, ex-chick is, like, just lost in the airport. They got into a fight, and she's just gone. And he's like, hold on, guys. I got to go find her. So he's in the airport for, like, an hour and a half. And we're like, oh, man, we're just waiting, all of us, band and crew, just waiting for him. And then he finally comes out with, like, 14 bags of McDonald's, and it's like, dude, I'm so sorry for making you guys wait. Here, I bought everybody food. It's just cheeseburgers and milkshakes for everybody, dude. It was.
You can't
so
be mad after that.
You can't be mad after that.
You can't be mad at Eric ever. He's never doing anything out of spite. He's just being himself and living his life.
He does not, and this is not in a bad way. I do not want to say this and help you think in a bad way. He's not worried about what you guys are thinking.
No.
And he's not doing anything to bother anyone. Mm-mm. He's just doing his own thing. He's just not worried
rockstar
about
way,
what other people
man.
Are thinking. I honestly, I told Cheese this the other day. I was like, someone needs to write a book on him, and it's to be called The Last Rockstar.
He is the last rockstar and I've ever, like, of all the people I've ever met. He's just the only person. He's not smoking. He's not lighting up a cigarette in your house because he's disrespecting your house. Just doesn't make, you know, he just doesn't
him,
have that
just
thing in his body. He's like, oh, I want to smoke right now. Sounds like a good, sir, you can't smoke here. This is a library.
Okay.
Oh, all right, I didn't know.
On the floor.
Like, whoa,
you're
sick.
Sir, you can't smash that into the floor. That's a library floor. Oh, my bad. He'll sweep it up.
I'll just get you a new carpet.
You got to be a legend.
Sir,
you
got to,
like,
your
birth a genre and sell 25 million records worldwide,
know?
I guess. You know?
That being said, I got to tell a story about Eric that, honestly, to me, I was just like, fuck yeah, rock and roll, man.
I love how this has just turned into stories about Eric.
Right.
Dude, that's what a legend this
rock
dude
and roll
yeah.
is.
I got one too. Let's go.
No. So we were with Sublime with Rome in Brazil, and we were doing like a hard run. It was like 10 shows in 12 days or something. And every single day was a show at night and then like a 4 or 5 in the morning lobby call.
Show at morning. The show start at like midnight or 1 a.m.
So you're getting off stage at like 2, or the show's getting done at like 2 or 2:30, and we have to be at the airport at 4 or 5.
Straight up.
And then we have a flight, and then we have another show that day. Same thing. Just nonstop, right? So towards the end of this, I mean, we maybe 8 or 9, it could have even been, no, because we had another show. So like we 8 or 9 shows in, and we have all been drugged through the mud, you know? We're all looking pretty haggard, and we've all been doing a little bit of partying because that's the only way you can get
through it, man.
It's the only way you can get through that kind of schedule. And, you know, Eric's been on the road with us doing the same thing, and he was tired. We'll say he was pretty tired this day. And at this point, he had this, you know, like a tank top on, and he's, you know, covered head to toe in tattoos. And he's got a backpack on that has spikes all coming out of it with a speaker in it blaring Metalachi.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know what Metalachi is, check it out.
It's fire.
It's a mariachi band that just covers old, like, metal songs, and it's fucking amazing. Metalachi, check
it
out.
I'm dying picturing Eric.
Yeah,
I
so
can see everything you're
doing.
We're
in the airport, and Eric is just, you know, it's a great sight. And then we're walking on the jetway to get onto the plane, and he, like, something happened, he tripped or something, and he like, fell down. And, you know, we all had to, like, help him up to and, like, get him onto the plane. And, you know, he's tired. He's looking rough at this point. And he sits down in his plane. And it looks like he's kind of, like, passing out a bit, right? And I remember our manager, Cheese, was there. And he's like, oh, man, you know, Eric's not looking really good. I hope they let us take off, you know. And as they say this, like, 8 nurses run onto the plane. And they surround his seat. And they're, you know, taking all of his vitals. And they're doing all the thing. And they're just like, sir, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And he just, you know, kept going, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I just need to sleep, you know? And they're like, sir, why are you so tired? And he just goes, music. That's fucking it. He just said, music. And they all, and then like 2 of the guys asked him for an autograph, and then they just bounced, and we took off, and I was like, that is fucking rock and roll right there, man.
He just needed some water and a nap.
He just needed some water and a nap. Leave the guy alone, man. We've been fucking going hard for 10 days.
Like, all those nurses, and he diagnosed himself on the spot.
I remember that.
I got a case of music. Dude, back
off.
Got a
case of music.
Just, you don't get it.
How old is Eric?
You're running around with these 20-year-olds, man.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. Oh my God!
So yeah, that's fucking amazing.
Fuck, man.
So
yeah, I remember that.
You know, I think most people know, but a lot of people don't know. I mean, you're not just the singer for Sublime with Rome. I mean, you're also an amazing songwriter and producer.
Thanks,
on your
man.
Own part. And I mean, I only say that because I hope you will continue to produce songs for us in the future. I mean, we've done I don't even know, but it's got to be like at least 10, if probably not more, together.
We've done.
Probably more.
Bunch of shit.
Probably
more.
Closer to 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's an amazing producer, and you would also think, oh, he probably just produces things just like Sublime or Dirty Heads or things like that. But no, you did an entire Enrique Iglesias album.
Dude, I've been fortunate enough to be put in some really rad rooms with some really awesome people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. But it's part of that keeping an open mind thing, I think. I've always had a real open mind when it comes to, like, just life. See what kind of doors open up and stuff, you know? But, yeah, I got to know Enrique really well and work with him through my publisher, Sony ATV. They kind of connected that, and that opened up a lot of doors, you know, to work with, like, Pitbull and, yeah, man, Selena Gomez and, like, Jason Derulo. It's just crazy. I've been working a lot with this really dope rapper named Jez Dior. He's signed to Sony. He's got some really dope stuff and dropping out. We got a bunch of songs coming out of his album.
Nice.
But yeah, man, you know, I've just been always focused on the music because that's, like, just what really makes me happy. And then all of the, like, I guess, ancillaries around it, you know, just the, like, that's why I started a record label, Fresh Goods Music, which is, like, essentially all of my talented, like, producer friends. We had all these songs on hard drives that, you know, those ones wouldn't get cut, but they're still dope songs, and we need to put them out somewhere.
I know all about that.
You know, so... You know, I just kind of, like, I had the idea of talking with Cheese, our manager, and was like, you know, I have all these songs. I don't really know what to do with them. And he's like, you should orchestrate a way to be able to distribute them through artists that you know. And I was like, man, that's a really great idea. And then it just kind of turned into its own thing where it's like, you know, what once started as me just wanting to get songs off the hard drive and put into the world kind of turned into this whole thing of now where I, like, legitimately, love to facilitate the creativity of other artists. Like, it's
insane.
That's
amazing.
And it's super time consuming, and, you know, there's really no money in it, but it doesn't matter because it's like, it's music.
You love it.
I love it, man. I love it, and I love to really get these artists and connect them with bigger platforms, and then, and, you know, when we get wins, we get wins, you know, and when you don't, that's the nature of the business. But I don't know, man, like, there's just something about being able to find somebody who's, I guess it's kind of like me. Like, I'm like, I kind of feel, I feel for the people who are just like me, who had all the creativity, but none of the connections and none of the outlets to be able to do it.
Yep.
And there are people who are extremely fortunate to be, you know, very well connected in the industry or very well financially off, so they were able to kind of get to where they need to go. But there are a bunch of people who are like me who didn't know anybody and didn't have no money. So it just took core people who believed in me, a couple of core people, Louis Richards being one of them, Cheese being one of them, to help, you know, Eric being also one of them, to help, you know, let me go to the next level. You know, you guys, Dirty Heads being one of them, you guys put money in my pocket before Sublime did, real talk. Like, I had nothing. And, you know, you guys would be on tour probably making, like, bringing home. Dude, in some cases, I was making more than you guys on some of these runs.
Oh, for sure.
When you come home, because you'd be like, yo, we got to pay Rome for
We couldn't ask
coming
him
out.
To come out. We had, like we said before, Lay Me Down hit. It wasn't even on our album. It came by surprise.
Yeah. So we were performing it.
We had all these shows booked. We're like, well, we got to play it, and we got to have him come out, and we can't expect him to come out and do this for free. So we had to pay him, like, a respectable amount of money, because that's
cool.
Just how we work, you know?
They gave me, like, $500 a tour, and I was like, hell yeah!
And that was, like, $500 more
I
than
made
we made.
It. Yeah, straight up,
well,
dude.
And
so.
Rome was doing double duty. So I was tour managing the Dirty Heads right when this song hit. And so here's what would happen. Rome was on tour with Sublime with Rome, so he had those duties. But he would also sleep on our bus, because we had to show
that's
up
right,
at every single state we entered, every city we entered, we had to be at their radio station at 7 a.m., and Rome would sleep on our bus so he could wake up, do the Lay Me Down song live on the air with the Dirty Heads, and then he would go to the show with us, and then he'd do the Dirty Head show, and he'd do the Rome show, and working his ass off. And the Dirty Heads, too, man. These kids woke up every morning at 7 a.m. and played a song live on every single city's radio station, shook every hand.
Except for one.
Which one?
Except for one morning.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, was, no. Was I there for this one? I don't think so. Oh, shit. No. Let's hear it.
So this all started with, and in our defense, what were we supposed to do? We had a radio. It was a day off.
Yeah.
But they had scheduled us, and this is back in our van days. This wasn't even a bus. This was like van days.
This was before me.
This was before you even came with us.
Everybody was poor. Everybody was
dang. Yeah. This.
I came in the
bus
day.
So we were in Slow, San Luis Obispo, probably playing Downtown Brew, and we had spent the night there, and we had a radio thing the next day at like 11 or something like that, and we woke up. And we all got in the van and got ready to go. And we're like, well, where are we going? We haven't even gotten any info on this. So we started hitting up our management like, dude, we haven't gotten a call sheet. Like, we don't have an address. We don't have a contact number. We don't have anything. Like, hit us up. You know, like, we're ready, but we don't got nowhere to go.
We might have had some Bloody Marys as well.
So that being said, we said, we're just going to go into this little bar and
wait
and just have, like, breakfast, and we'll wait.
Breakfast.
that turned into this game that we like to play called everyone gets a turn to order a drink and everybody has to drink that drink. And that turned into like
deadly game.
Like the worst shit. Like at like 10 in the morning, we were pounding adios motherfuckers and shit. Like the dumbest drinks you could ever imagine. And I think by like noon, and I hope we can find this picture and have it on the site.
I'll send it as soon as I get home.
If you're listening to this, go on the site and listen and find this picture of me and Matty O and Rome passed out in an alley behind the bar at like noon. And that was, we took a little cat nap in the alley, and then we got up and went back in the bar and kept it going. At one point, the bartender just closed the door and put the close sign. Because there
that's
was
right.
like nine of us in there.
We were the ball. Yeah.
And we were just, I think Matty O, he really does resemble a young Tom Cruise. So at one point we had him in his underwear and socks sliding across the bar like fucking Tom Cruise. And so she was like, okay, I don't want to kick these guys out, but I can't let anybody else in here. So she closed the bar. And people were coming and, like, knocking on the door and looking in the window. And they'd look in and they'd see what was happening and they would just leave. Dude, they didn't want any part of it. But we ended up at the Madonna Inn. Do you remember this? And I think you and Trophy ended up doing acid.
I think. Yeah.
And me and Jared ended up punching me in the face.
Dude, well, you pushed him onto a bed with a pizza.
Oh yeah, it was so good.
His white hoodie.
So we had like five rooms, and we're all drunk. I went to one room by myself to pass the fuck out because I was exhausted. And of course, Jared rolls in like 10 minutes after I laid down with like a bunch of people and. Like all these pizzas, and I was like, yo, go hit another room. You know, I'm sleeping. And that turned into us, you know, completely hammered arguing. And as we're arguing, I realized, oh, he's got a brand new white sweater on. Ooh, that's a full cheese pizza on the bed. So I throw him on the fucking cheese pizza on his brand new white sweater.
He's all pissed off.
And he gets up, and at this point, I'm just cracking up, and everyone's laughing, and he gets a little angry, and he's like, all in my face. I'm like, dude, just fucking hit me then. Just fucking hit me. And he fucking clocked me right in the face. And
And then like 30 minutes later, everybody was smoking weed in the hot tub.
10 minutes later, we were hugging and friends. And that's just how it goes. But whatever.
And check out the Madonna Inn. We'll put pictures up. Madonna Inn is a trip. If you're on acid at the Madonna Inn, this isn't just a regular place.
So I had my room and then... this place is a fucking trip if you guys have never been there or stayed there. It's in San Luis Obispo. It's like right off the 101, right?
Right off the 101 in a mountainside.
And every room is themed. So it's like, you know, there's like the dollhouse room, and then there's like an all pink room and like a tie-dye room, a sailboat room, just all kinds of crazy shit. And so we were already like, me and Thorough Sound Guy, Matt, we were already like tripping on like some acid. And then we had an adjoining room. So we, like, obviously, you know, you do in your early 20s, you just combine the rooms to double the party up all the time. And we were just tripping so bad that we started rearranging the furniture, like, or rearranging the decorations. We would take my, like, doll room and mix it in with his sailboat room, and we'd just be swapping all the artwork. And then I remember that we stole, or the next day I stole a pillow, and then I got billed for it.
That's right.
It was, like, $50. I was like... What? I have to give $50 back to the band? Like, yeah, because he stole the pillow. I was like,
what was the feather count on that pillow?
Dude, I was pissed.
Yeah. Fast forward 10 years, and do you remember that room we just destroyed? And you were like, I don't give a shit. Bill me.
Oh, fuck.
At one point when he threw the champagne bottle
I was
the
there.
Wall.
That was New Year's Eve in
Chicago.
Like, I was going to bring this up, dude. You were like an axe thrower. Rome was throwing bottles of champagne and sticking them into the wall.
Dude, no, I threw one.
Room.
And it landed perfect in there. Perfect. And like Cheese, like our manager, where he typically would have probably choked you, any of us, it was so well done that he was like,
huh.
You can't get mad at that.
Pretty good job on that. Cool. I was like, come on. Cool. That shit costed me $700. I was like 21. Woo.
We had like the entire floor. It was a New Year's Eve. We were like on the harbor.
It was like
in
a Dirty
Chicago.
Heads, Sublime with Rome, yep. New Year's show.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was something like the entire 8th, 12th floor was ours. And so it was every room, like you said, with the Madonna Inn. Just room after room was all ours. And so Rome was just axing bottles of champies into the wall.
Yeah, that was a really, really expensive... really expensive accolade.
Worth it, dude. I'll never forget that. Worth every second.
Now
every
I would have been like, I'll take the $700, please.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rome, every show we like to do a segment called One Time at Bandcamp.
Okay.
And it gives you a chance to just tell us any story, funny, inspirational, scary, stupid, I don't care. Whatever it is, just something that stands out from your just – your story of start to, you know, to hear one story. You got one for us?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and this one time at band camp?
Oh, my God. I left the banjo at the end. this one time. Okay, so the first time that we ever, I want to give a story that, like, no one's ever heard. Those are the best ones.
You mind if I take
tell one we told earlier?
Yeah, let's get some Brontos going. Okay, so when when Eric called Bud and was like, yo, I got this kid who I think you might be into, like, jamming with. What?
Never. I just thought of something.
It's dirty water.
Was your first show potentially in Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, you just reminded me of that because I remember.
Yeah, actually. So technically that was, I lied. Our first show wasn't Smoke.
I remember they had like, because Bud was living in.
In Reno.
And you guys went and played a show at a small club
out
there.
It was at a Mexican restaurant called Los Tres Hombres or something like that.
Dang.
I do remember
Tres Hermanos. Oh, man, I forgot what it was. It was something. Tres something.
That's like a Breaking Bad. Oh, that's Dos Hermanos?
No, that's. Los Pollos.
Oh, you're right. Shit.
Los Pollos, hermanos. Something like that. But right. Yeah. So we, so Bud was like, yo, pull up, you know, come up to Reno and bring the kid. And he's like, all right, cool. So mind you, they hadn't talked in like forever. So he's like, do you want to ride up with me or do you want to fly up there? And, you know, I'm trying to hang out with you, man. Eric Wilson, come on. Let's kick it.
So Eric Wilson calls Bud. Bud's living in Tahoe. And he says, I got this kid, you, Rome.
Come on up.
Come on up. Let's jam and see
what's
up.
5-hour drive. Let's do this.
Brilliant.
That drive took us like 3 days. Okay. So he lived in Long Beach. And then from Long Beach, we went to he's like, I need to stop off at L.A. So then we stopped off at L.A. I'm pretty sure that's like the opposite direction of when you're going to Reno. From Long Beach, you know what I mean? So
Probably. We
just went like straight north down to up to LA, and then we stopped at like this synth shop, and then we stopped at the synth shop, and then he's like, yo, we're gonna swing by my buddy's house. He's like, won't take too long. So we go there, and this is like in downtown somewhere, and then he's like, yo, I'll be right back. We're gonna swing over to his homies. He's like two floors up. The other way, just chill. I'm like, bet. So I'm down there for like an hour, just chilling. I go meet up with my friends down the street to go get some drinks. I end up just staying the night and spending the night. then I get a call from Eric the next day. He's like, yo, you ready to roll? I'm like, yep, let's go. So then, all right, bet. So then we're heading on up, going to Reno or going to Tahoe, and then we stop off at a border town in California. He's like, I know this crazy bar with like a hot spring. So we go to this spot, get in the hot springs. He pulls out a bag of weed. I was so stoked because I had no money, no weed. And he was like, dude, got the goods. So that's what he was doing over there. He picked up like from his boy. So then we're at like the spring. And then he's like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go make a call. She's gone. She's just, homie's just gone for like 2 hours. I just said this hot spring, like, dang. Like hot already. Just gonna chill around, walk around.
Hope it comes
Bro,
back.
Yeah, Rome's like, is this a whole prank?
Is he like just testing me right now?
Ashton and Kutcher then, pops out of the hot
and
spring.
And then finally, so it's like it's getting like, you know, into the PM now, like the later evening of this day, of day two. And it was only a 5-hour drive. And then he's like, all right, cool. Let's just drive for a little bit and then we're gonna stop over at this hotel. And I was like, all right, cool. So we pull into Old Town Reno. And in Old Town Reno, he then, like, takes me out to, like, just the dopest night of my life. Like, at that point, man, like, he got me so drunk. I was only 19 at the time, too. So, I don't even think I could even drink legally. But I was, like, got all blitzed with him. And he gave me, like, $150 to put into, like the casino slot machine. And I, like, lost it all. He's like, here's some more, man. Don't worry about it. Bought me a big old steak dinner. And I was like, this is so fire. My life is like amazing. And then and then right after that, I don't know. It was just in my, you know, in my head. I didn't really know any better. I was like, yo, all right, cool. Well, you can take the bed, man. I'll just, you know, sleep on the floor. And he was like, nah, man, I'm just going to get your own room. And I just thought that was so rad, dude. It's at my own hotel room. Like, because I never had my own hotel room before. I was like, this is so tight, man. Thank you. And then the next morning, we got together, and then we drove over to Bud's house. And then it was just like, hey, what's up, man? Rome, what's up? Cool. Well, instruments are upstairs. I'll be up there in a little bit. And then we just went straight into jamming. But that was like kind of like, that was like the 24 hours or 30, 72 hours, really, of like right before like we ever played music together, all of us. Like, And man, that like just kind of foreshadowed a lot of like how Eric kind of is, you know, like he's just always been that kind of dude to like provide that platform for like a musician, you know. It's a good dude.
That's what I good. Liked about what you're doing for musicians now is exactly what you just said. Like, so you were provided That's this trip, amazing platform. Yeah. And now you're doing the same thing for a bunch of younger dudes.
It's crazy.
So everyone's
it's
winning.
It's like a full cycle, you know?
No, it's you a took trap, your man. Blessing, you know, if, you know, we're talking Straight about up. Blessings this episode.
Yeah, man.
And you're making that blessing for plenty of other people, and they might make it for other people. So you're just trickling it down.
It's crazy how it works. And I don't even know if it's like a conscious thing, you know. It's probably just it's something that, you know, is subconscious that I feel like humans kind of have like a natural ability to kind of also cultivate community and you know, spread positivity. I know there's like a lot of negativity in the world, and that's always what's broadcasted the most. But that's what's tight about your podcast is like where, you know, a lot of people can be like focused on like, you know, the events, the more like clickbaity kind of shit. But it's important to have people really highlight the positivity as well and all the good in the world, you know?
That's what we're trying to do. Cause you know what? It's like you just said, it's, I think a lot of people tend to just gravitate towards the negative and they like to then, you know, go to other people and talk about that and, you know, get fired up. And it's like, here, what we're trying to do is make you feel good, right, yeah. Jake? We're trying to make you feel good.
Everyone has negative stuff in their life, dude. And no, yeah, complain about it. Fine. It's part of the human experience. But here, when you listen to this show, we're going to make you laugh and we're going to make you feel good. That's all that is.
That's important.
You can it's a quick
on,
break.
You can go on Facebook and hear about all the,
yeah,
you can do all that. The negative in the world.
So you can
know?
Get political. Have fun.
That's it. Yeah,
but instead, nice. You chose to tune in here. And we thank you so much.
Oh,
Rome, thank you, my dude, for coming in.
Absolutely.
But real quick, we didn't even promote what you have.
Oh, yeah. What's up? I got a new album, or the band, we're dropping our third album, Blessings 527. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Produced by Rob Cavallo, who's a legend producer. He, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's like kind of a nuts because we tried to write this album about 3 years ago, and then or about 2 years ago, and then we went to the studio, and it just didn't feel right for us to put it out, you know? So we withhold, and we went back, like, the following year for a writing session, and we, like, came up with the first song, Wicked Heart, and that was the one that kind of, like, got everybody really excited. And then after that, man, like, we hit the studio, and then everything just kind of came, like, full force. And it was dope because, like, I got to kind of implement some of like looking back now that it's been like 10 years as a band, you know, like the lyrical content of the album is really kind of based on that narrative of just like, holy shit, what an insane venture like this 10 years has been. A lot of it because of just, honestly, man, just being like mad grateful, and because of, you know, people like kind of providing some faith in me to allow, you know, me to do some stuff. And and yeah, man, like that's kind of like what the whole album encompasses, like lyrically, is just kind of that whole sentiment of just what an insane journey it's been, and all of the trials and tribulations that come with, you know, following your dream, you know. But no, we're stoked, man. It'll be dropping May 27th. That's my son's second birthday. So, yeah, it's crazy. Life moves fast.
Dang. 10 years in, 3 albums in.
Dude, yeah, I started this shit when I was 19. I'm 30 now, so I'm going to be 31. Dang, that's crazy.
I think it's working.
we'll keep it going. We just did some really dope-ass, like, Sony distribution deal with our label, so now we get to... get to, you know, sign some artists and do some real big stuff now.
Oh, that's nice. Exciting.
Yeah, it's really big for us. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to keep making more music and keep putting out more music for people to hear.
That's right. And what, tour this summer?
Yeah, we got a big fat tour. We're going on Soja, Common Kings.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, it'll be fire. Michael Franti, dude's lit. Spearhead, can't go wrong.
Nice.
So I'll be tight, you know, just kind of put together that little summer 420 kind of vibe and just kind of roll it out all summer, man. Like, I don't know, the world's nuts out there right now, so I think it's important, you know, that it's good that we are in these kind of positions and we're able to do that, and especially with our sound, man. Like, it's kind of crazy, but this sound, this genre that is, like, you know, so big, and it's growing even more so, you know, the, like, reggae rock thing, man. It's like, it means a lot to people, and it makes them feel hella good, you know. I see all the stuff the fans post and how our music affects them just dramatically, and I just think that's dope, man.
It's crazy, you know, how much it means to people. And I mean, I remember growing up, and not even just growing up, just period, like, music gets you, man, and not for everyone, but some people, like, I think we touched on this a little bit last episode, but for some people, it's like, music is just everything.
Yeah.
And to make such an effect on someone's life in a positive way, it's just, it makes you feel good.
Dude, 100%. Very, very blessed.
So,
feeling
Jake.
Good with Duddy.
There you go. Yeah, there it is. Dude. So, once again, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Reamp Studios, for letting us come here and say all this stuff. Rome Ramirez, thank you for spending your day with us. And we will see
Anytime.
You guys next time. Peace.
Peace out. Love you guys.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water